welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. It is the first day of December 2011. Today marks our six-month anniversary here on KVOI, AM 1030. Our thanks to KVOI owners Doug and Mary Martin for making our stay so enjoyable as we look forward to the next 6 months and beyond. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, which is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA, AM 1240 up in Gila County, folks listening to us up in Globe and in Douglas and Cochise County. They listen to the Buckmaster Show on AM 930 KAPR. Program is live streamed at two sites, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and there is also 24/7 anytime, anywhere listening to our program on three websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and our newest agreement with tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We begin today's show with a conversation with Terry Bracey about the deadlock in Washington over cost-cutting. Terry is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. 20 minutes past the hour, a preview of the Dancing in the Streets production of The Nutcracker, which for the first time will be performed this month at the Fox Theater. 30 minutes past the hour, it's writer Ian Toll. He's the author of the highly acclaimed new book about America's first year at war in the Pacific 70 years ago this month. And we close out the show with Buckmaster Show legal contributor, attorney Don Luce. Mr. Luce and Mr. Bracey are two of the two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. The full list is at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, we always encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, that so-called super committee wasn't so super after all, failing to reach agreement on a plan for a debt reduction. So what's next? Joining us to explore that question is Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs, a former staffer and very close friend of the legendary Arizona Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry Bracey is the chair emeritus of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation, a federal foundation named after Moe and Stuart Udall, a former Assistant Secretary of Transportation. Terry Bracey is CEO of a Washington, D.C. consulting firm that has represented the city of Tucson for more than three decades. Terry Bracey is also a special lecturer at the Washington, D.C. program for the University of Missouri School of Journalism. Terry, great to have you in town, and normally we're talking with you on the Buckmaster Show live line from Washington, and we're glad you're here.
Well, I am thrilled to be here and see this fancy new studio, and it's your six-month anniversary here.
This is the six-month anniversary for us here at KVOI. Thank you very much, Terry. No question about it, Washington seems to be deadlocked. Time magazine calls the deadlock the new norm.
Well, let's hope not. It could be. Super committee, big disappointment. Even the old vets like me had some hope at the beginning when you have personalities like Senator Patty Murray and Jeb Hensarling on the Republican side who are really outstanding people. What you hope is that when they get in a room that they bond in a different way, that they get away from the orthodoxy of their respective parties and try to do something larger. They tried. They really tried. But there were forces behind all this. One of them is a guy named Grover Norquist.
And many of the lawmakers have signed Grover Norquist's, his pledge, Terry, which is no new taxes, right?
That's right. It's kind of interesting. I heard Alan Simpson call Norquist the unofficial president of the United States. But anyway, he has managed over the years to talk many of the members of the GOP into signing a never will I tax kind of statement. On the Democratic side, you have, of course, a tremendous push from the Democratic constituency to be very, very careful with Social Security and Medicare and things which a huge proportion of our society depends on, and you're dealing with the most delicate kinds of issues. And sometimes you feel like these really aren't being settled in that super committee room. They're being settled on the outside by people like Nordquist and interests like that. Kind of disappointing.
It is disappointing. And the lowest ratings, I think, ever for the public when it comes to their members of Congress, they get these single-digit approval numbers. The people really seem to have had it with this deadlock, Terry.
Well, clearly the president's had it, and I think that he has decided that there just isn't any possibility of striking a deal, and he's out campaigning already. What's interesting now to watch, just from an academic standpoint, if nothing else, is that the parties now realizing that they cannot come to an agreement have taken this already to the electorate, and they are shaping their agendas right now. This week, as we speak, there's a big argument over extension of the payroll tax holiday. Now, that holiday means about $1,000 to everybody. And there's strong push on the Republican side initially not to extend it because of the debt problem, which is a responsible thing. But on the Democratic side, they're saying, well, you've got 9% unemployment, you've got to deal with this. And by the way, you've got to deal with extending unemployment insurance. Well, all of this costs money. So the two parties are sort of at it again, and they are sort of staging how this last fight of this Congress will go. And it's important because it will set the stage for next year.
And if nothing is done, something has to be done. There's some deadlines coming up this month, right? In December.
In December, December 16th, the continuing resolution, which is funding the government, runs out. And presumably they want to get out of there for Christmas. I've seen them stay, but so the 16th of December is the operative date right now.
Well, if both sides, Terry Bracey, are positioning themselves for the 2012 election with the understanding or realizing that nothing's going to get done on this debt reduction, where does that leave the American taxpayers right now?
Not very happy.
Not very happy.
But if the political system isn't operating as it should, it's time for the American public to take a hard look at it. And I think that what lies ahead in 2012 is quite unpredictable. There are all these factors out there. There's the Tea Party movement. Now there's the Occupy movement. There's the debt crisis in Europe, and the fact that since Congress can't agree on a fiscal policy, that is taxation and whatnot, that's left the job completely to monetary policy. So the unelected central bankers of the world are running the show. So all of these forces are swirling around, and then it looks like there's going to be a strong third-party internet kind of thing, not party, but a new way, that could get in the middle of this election. And there's talk, if the Republican Party can't unify, there's talk of Ron Paul or someone like that from the right running. It's going to be a very interesting year.
You know, third parties have not done historically very well. I mean, we've been a two-party system really since going back to the Civil War, and you wonder how that is going to divide this nation. And what's very intriguing is this, you've mentioned this internet movement of actually selecting a candidate over the net.
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept. We'll see if it works. But I have wondered, you know, American history is full of examples of the existing parties coming to a crisis and being unable to do the business of the day. And when that happens, there always historically has been a change. Some new element has arrived in American politics. For some time, I have been wondering when this would be delivered via the internet. The fact that you can spend billions on advertising. But if you use the internet well, it costs almost nothing. And it's a powerful force. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works.
There are so many variables, as you point out, in this 2012 election, and we don't even know the situation with the Republicans. It seems like there's a different front runner every day, and as you say, President Obama is already out there campaigning. He's going to probably pin the Republicans as trying to hold up obstructionists when it has come to this debt reduction, and the Republicans are going to say that President Obama never wanted a deal in the first place.
Yeah, that'll be the political line, but I think the American people are sort of beyond this. The thing that concerns me is that you now see that the sides are lining up for the election and so on. But I hope the divisions don't get so bitter that they're unable, if a crisis occurs next year, to come together as Americans and do something. I mean, we are not out of the woods with our economy. It looks better, starting to see slow growth, jobs, and so on. But this European thing is a big worry, and you don't know what's coming next. So both with respect to the economy and who knows what unpredicted event may occur, you still need some level of civility to operate in Washington because it's important. And so I have my fingers crossed.
We have about a minute to go, Terry, and I know you've been good friends with the mayors of the city of Tucson going back over several decades. You've been a very good friend of Mayor Walkup. You'll be at his tribute on Friday. You know Jonathan Rothschild, the mayor-elect. Are you happy about the way things are starting to look for the city of Tucson?
I'm very impressed. I'm impressed with the transition that's taken place from Walkup. I just met with the mayor-elect, and he is really briefed. He knows what he's doing. He's full of energy, and he's very focused. I met with the city manager and the staff. There's a whole new feeling about that, and I'm very optimistic about Tucson. It's a wonderful place. We're going to recover, and I think the growth is going, once it gets started again, the real problem we're going to have is keeping up with it.
Okay, Terry Bracey, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. Terry Bracey, the Washington, D.C. contributor to this program. We hear from Terry at least once a month. Have a great holiday season, Terry.
Thank you, Bill.
It's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking about dancing in the streets in the Nutcracker at the Fox. That's coming up next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners. The backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
It's 12:22 on the Buckmaster Show. Well, Dancing in the Streets, which opened its doors to Tucson's Southside community in 2008, will be presenting the Nutcracker at the Fox Theater on December the 18th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be live music by the Civic Orchestra of Tucson. We'll be having the Civic Orchestra of Tucson folks on the Buckmaster Show next week. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show are Joey Rogers, who, along with his wife, Celeste Lupu, is also with us in studio. Joey and Celeste used money given to them by friends and family members in celebration of their wedding to rent and furnish their first studio space on South 4th Avenue. Thus, Dancing in the Streets was born 4 years ago. Joey and Celeste, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for having us.
Joey, you're a local guy. You grew up in South Tucson, and you went on and pursued a great dancing career. Tell me about, did you ever think 4 years after you and Celeste put this whole thing together that you would be to the point where you would be performing at the Fox Theater and filling, hopefully filling, 1,200 seats?
Actually, no, I didn't really had a vision that it was going to get this big this quickly. My vision was is just to go back in my old neighborhood and give back to the community that I dearly love and teach them classical ballet.
And what do the kids think of that?
Oh, boy, we got all kind of kids. Our kids are very, very enthusiastic, very spongy. You know, they absorb everything that I teach them. And now they're getting to the point that they're knowledgeable. So that's where we're at right now.
Celeste, how excited are the kids about actually performing at the Fox Theater before a big crowd?
Well, the thing is a lot of our families don't even really know what the Fox is. So they don't know enough to be any more excited than they would with any other production on stage. I think once they get into the theater, they're going to be even more excited. We've been telling them there's going to be more audience, but we've been doing 2 shows at Pima Community College for the past couple of years, which is 420 seats, so this is 500 more seats than we normally do, so it's just an exciting thing with the history of the Fox Theater.
And you say some of the families really don't have a feeling about even what the Fox is. What, describe for us your demographic and the at-risk community that you are serving.
Well, we have a wide population. I mean, they come from Vail. We have school teachers as well as we have South Tucson. We have at-risk youth that are age 8 all the way up through our teens. Many of our families are single parents or grandparents raising kids or other family members or dual households, step parents and many things. And one of the things that we've discovered with this population is that ballet and going to the theater and going to see a live production is really a new experience to them. And
it
don't
can be life-changing for some of these kids, can
definitely.
It?
Absolutely.
Can it, Joey?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like a lot of our parents, they've seen the Fox from the outside, but they've never been inside. So we're trying to tell them, it's like, well, what you see outside is totally different from the inside. But that's where the excitement comes in because, like I said, a lot of them never could afford to buy a ticket to go
even
to
when it was the movie theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about this special production of The Nutcracker. Joey, you want to fill in our listeners about why they might want to come and support this particular event at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on December the 18th?
Wow. Well, the reason why they need the support are, like I said, a lot of our kids are at risk, and a lot of our kids never dreamed never being on stage, for one, and number two, doing a Nutcracker. It's funny, I have a lot of my parents come to me and say, you know, when I'm doing the rehearsal and I put the Waltz of the Flower music on, you know, that's a big, you know, but our parents come, Mr. Rogers, I heard of that music before. Oh, really? Where'd you hear it at? Well, I hear it at Tucson Mall when I'm shopping. So they don't really don't understand. Well, I mean, they heard
sure.
the music, but
yeah.
they don't understand there's an actual story to that music.
And you have a Southwest twist with the Nutcracker.
Absolutely. Well, it's not more like a Southwestern. It's more of the Mexican. What are we trying to celebrate? Maybe Celeste?
Well, the El Cascanueces is just really represents who we are as a dance group. We are very diverse. You see all of the colors of the rainbow in our performers. And that's kind of where the El Cascanueces comes in. We are the Nutcracker storyline. There are a few local things that are thrown in, and as we grow as an organization, we'll find more local flavor. We are not Southwest Nutcracker. We're our own Nutcracker, but it speaks more to who our students are, that we are all colors of the rainbows, all shapes and sizes. We have autistic kids performing with us. We have many different levels of age fitness, we have adult performers. It just kind of celebrates who our organization is.
Tell us a little bit about the tickets.
Well, tickets start at $13. One of the things that we're really excited about being in the Fox Theater is that we have an event that's happening before the Nutcracker. Gabriel Ayala, the classical guitarist.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing at 2 o'clock for the $50 level ticket holders. They get a concert before the ballet with Gabriel Ayala, a light lunch, and seating in the first four rows of the audience. And that starts, they'll be coming in at 1:30, the concert starts at 2, and the ballet production starts at 3 o'clock.
And we got something else really exciting, too,
go ahead.
Bill. We just found out today that the newly elected mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, is going to be our master of ceremonies. So
wonderful.
He's going to come and with his wife and open up the show for us. So.
And it's great having the live music,
Civic
Orchestra of Tucson.
Yeah.
As I say, we're looking forward to meeting their director here on the program next week. Tuesday, I believe, we have booked them to be on the program, so we can also put another plug in for your event on December the 18th at 3 in the afternoon. So, Celeste, how are the tickets doing so far?
You know, I really don't know. I'm so entrenched with rehearsals and costumes and getting kids there. You know, we also pick them up and take them home and
right.
sewing shoes that I really haven't had
and
time.
And you make
to
all the costumes for the kids?
The costumes are purchased, some are made, they're a combination of things, but we have a wardrobe supervisor, Janet Solis, who has been an immeasurable amount of volunteer work.
Oh, absolutely. She's like our right-hand person, so she's like our operation volunteer manager, so she's just doing it. Best things for in the colony of her heart. So.
Joey Rogers and Celeste Lupu, who are the co-founders of Dancing in the Streets, the big production of The Nutcracker at the Fox Theater December 18th, 3 p.m., live music by Civic Orchestra of Tucson. Joey and Celeste, good luck, and I'm sure the Buckmaster Show listeners will be delighted to support this. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking about, with writer Ian Toll, the war in the Pacific. 70 years ago it all began.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Hundreds of thousands of people are still without power, mainly in California, after the West was pounded by some of the worst winds in years overnight. Federal authorities have obtained a third sealed search warrant in their investigation of former Syracuse University basketball assistant coach Bernie Fine. He's accused by three men of having molested them as minors. The UN's top human rights official is describing Syria's conflict as a civil war, with more than 4,000 people dead and an increasing number of soldiers leaving the army to take up arms against the government. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 4 points, while the NASDAQ Composite Index trading 9 points higher. The S&P 500 Index is currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Twenty 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. December 2011, America marking the 70th anniversary of the start of World War II. The attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii on December 7th launched what would be a very difficult 6 months for the United States, especially in the Pacific Theater of Operations. That period is covered in a new book titled Pacific Crucible, War at Sea in the Pacific, 1941-1942. The author is Ian Toll. Ronald Spector, reviewing the book in a recent edition of the Wall Street Journal, says Mr. Toll's version of the oft-told tale is vivid, fast-moving, and highly readable. Ian Toll joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Toll, thanks for being with us. We'll be having Mr. Toll with us very shortly. In that review of Ian Toll's book, Ronald Spector in the Wall Street Journal says that Ian Toll has made remarkable use of the large number of extant memoirs, diaries, and oral histories by sailors and Marines, and the result is a story told from the viewpoint of the participants as much as that of the leaders and the strategists. The name of the book, again, is Pacific Crucible, War at Sea in the Pacific, 1941-1942, and the writer is Ian Toll. And we'll be having Mr. Toll on the Buckmaster Show live line very shortly. And within a few short months of the stunning success at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese war machine overran all of Burma, Thailand, Hong Kong, the Philippines, and the Dutch East Indies and captured the American bases at Guam and Wake Islands. They sank the only two British battleships in East Asia. Luckily for the United States, the three American aircraft carriers assigned to the Pacific were not in port that fateful December 7th in Pearl Harbor. Those carriers would be the centerpiece of a series of carrier raids, including the famous Doolittle raid of April 1942, in which Army medium bombers launched from the carrier Hornet hit Tokyo itself. We're having a little bit of a difficulty reaching Mr. Toll here on the Buckmaster Show, so perhaps maybe we should take a break right here. Nope, we're going to stay with it, and hopefully we'll have Mr. Toll with us very shortly to talk about his highly acclaimed book, Pacific Crucible, The War in the Pacific, 1941-1942. And hopefully he will be with us very soon. We want to invite you to go to the Buckmaster Show website. Lots of good information there on the Buckmaster Show website about what we do here on the program. We have our list of some two dozen contributors. And, of course, we have the Buckmaster Show pledge. And that pledge is simply that listener opinions matter. Respect the audience. It's a forum for ideas, quality guests, and informed listeners. We can take a break right here. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Spiro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Ace pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at SpiroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today. Knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Well, 12:42 on the Buckmaster Show. Ian Toll is with us. He is the author of Pacific Cruiseville. Mr. Toll, I'm sorry about the little bit of problems with the Buckmaster Show live line, but we've got you now. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
Tell me something. This is an area, the early days of the war in the Pacific, has been very fertile ground for so many writers in this country. How did you approach this project, realizing that a lot had been written about it before?
Well, it's true. There has been a lot of ink spilled on really every aspect of World War II. I do think that the Pacific War has received less attention than Europe. And secondly, and this I think you might say is axiomatic of all military history, there's a tendency to pay a lot more attention to what's happening on land than at sea. And so what I set out to do was to construct a narrative that would tell the entire story of the war at sea in the opening months of the Pacific War, alternating between the perspectives of the Americans and the Japanese and also the high command and the sailors who fought the war in the lower decks.
A couple of things really jump out at me, and I couldn't put the book down, but again, I love this period of World War II, especially the Pacific. It's amazing to think of what happened December 7th, and 6 months later at Midway, the Japanese Navy basically being put out of business, losing three aircraft carriers in not a few days, but a matter of a few hours. Was that then the beginning of the end?
Yes, it really was, because the Japanese carrier force had been really the terror of almost a third of the globe, spreading devastation from Hawaii all the way to India in the early months of the war. And the Japanese carrier air force, I think it has to be admitted that at the beginning of the war really was qualitatively the best in the world. And we had underestimated the Japanese, particularly Japanese pilots and aircraft, prior to December 7th. And so we, our Navy had to make a rapid adjustment to realize that they were dealing with a talented and tenacious foe who had put our entire line of battleships out of business in the first 15 minutes of the Pacific War.
We're speaking with Ian Toll. He is the author of Pacific Crucible, a book that's been highly acclaimed. I mentioned in the intro, I was quoting Ronald Spector of the Wall Street Journal. He wrote a very nice review of your book about a couple of weeks ago in the Journal. And I wanted to point out a couple of things that really struck me about Pearl Harbor. There were two waves of attacking Japanese Zeros that hit Pearl Harbor that day. There was a lot of controversy about a third wave that could have been called upon by the Japanese. If that third wave had indeed hit Honolulu and Pearl Harbor, they could have taken out the all-important fuel supply, which was missed in the first two waves. How big a deal was that?
Well, it was a very big deal. Admiral Nimitz, who was named Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet to replace Admiral Kimmel, in the days after the attack, when he arrived at Pearl Harbor, his first impression was, this is a cataclysmic defeat, and it's not clear whether we'll ever be able to recover from it. But as he toured Pearl Harbor and took a closer look at the damage, he realized that the Americans had actually been very lucky, because as you say, if the Japanese had destroyed those fuel tanks and also the repair shops, it might have been necessary for the American fleet then to pull back to the west coast, to San Diego, and to begin to fight the war from there. Because the fuel tanks survived, the fuel supply survived, war was able to be conducted from Pearl Harbor, far advanced across the Pacific. And that probably saved at least a year in the war. In other words, if the Japanese had done a more thorough job at Pearl Harbor, it might have taken a full year or even longer to defeat Japan.
And, of course, the three carriers were not in port at Pearl Harbor, thank goodness, that day. That was huge as well, wasn't it?
It was enormously important because at the in the aftermath of the attack, as I said, all eight battleships in the Pacific Fleet were knocked out of action, although most of those would be eventually returned to service. And so it was really the aircraft carriers and the submarines were the weapons that were available to Nimitz in the early months of the war. And the submarines, for various reasons, most importantly, we had defective torpedoes, were not able to make an impression early in the war. So it really fell on the aircraft carriers to begin to eat away at the Japanese empire, which they won very rapidly within a few months of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And it was those aircraft carriers that conducted a series of raids against Japanese positions in the Pacific and then ultimately launched the Doolittle Raid in cooperation with the Air Force against Tokyo and other Japanese cities in April 1942. And that led really directly to the Japanese determination to try to take the atoll of Midway in the hopes of forcing the American aircraft carriers to come out and do battle and be destroyed. And, of course, that didn't work out. Instead, we destroyed four of their aircraft carriers on June 4th, 1942.
Another thing, Ian Toll, that jumped out at me was the declaration of war that came on December the 8th in Washington with President Roosevelt, of course, the day that will live, his famous day of infamy speech. That was a declaration of war against the Empire of Japan. There was no mention of the other Axis powers, Italy and Germany. What would have happened if Hitler and Germany had not declared war against the United States, which they did within actually a couple of days of Pearl Harbor?
That's right. It was the Thursday after the Sunday when Hitler and Mussolini declared war. And it really is one of the interesting what-ifs. If Hitler and Mussolini had not decided to declare war against the United States, it's likely that Roosevelt would not have been able to get a clean vote in Congress to go to war against the other two Axis partners. The country prior to the war was very divided over the prospect of sending our troops back to Europe. And so I think it has to be said that Hitler did Roosevelt a favor by declaring war 4 days after Pearl Harbor. And if he hadn't done that, he would have created a significant problem, for a political problem at home for President Roosevelt.
Fascinating stuff, Pacific Crucible. And there's actually a mention of one of my distant relatives. Captain Elliot Buckmaster was the skipper of the Yorktown. There are only about 2,000 families, Buckmaster families, in North America. Elliot, not a direct descendant, but there is a relationship there. And it made me proud reading about his work on the Yorktown.
Yes, well, he, at the Battle of the Coral Sea, the Yorktown managed to dodge about 15 or more torpedoes, and it was Captain Buckmaster who was at the conn there and managed to maneuver the ship to avoid those torpedoes, and that turned out to be very important because the Yorktown was the only aircraft carrier on either side at the Battle of the Coral Sea to appear at both Coral Sea and Midway. And in the second battle, the Yorktown Air Group played a very decisive role in the destruction of the four Japanese aircraft carriers.
Wonderful news. Ian Toll, thank you very much. Good luck with Pacific Crucible, published by Norton. It's available everywhere. It's a fascinating read. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the program, Bill.
Okay, Ian Toll, the author of Pacific Crucible. Now on the Buckmaster Show, we now have Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, whose offices are in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. There are some two dozen contributors to our program, and Mr. Luce is one of them. We're always delighted to have him with us the first Thursday of the month. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, good to see you. I know you're also kind of a World War II buff, so you are interested in what Mr. Toll had to say.
Good to see you, Bill. And, boy, that is fascinating stuff. What a great book.
Tell me a little bit about these. The announcement was made yesterday. The holiday DUI patrols will be starting the checkpoints this weekend. A lot of people wonder, Don Luce, are these checkpoints legal?
Well, to my knowledge, Bill, that has never been successfully challenged. And in southern Arizona, especially during this time of year, thousands of people are going to encounter these checkpoints. In fact, so far this holiday season, nearly 3,000 people have already been stopped, questioned, and in some cases tested, which has resulted in quite a few arrests for DUI.
So are we talking about a fine line here, Don Luce?
I don't think so, Bill. I think the checkpoints, which have now been in existence for several years, are pretty well established. I think they serve a very positive public purpose. This past weekend, for instance, they arrested nearly 100 people for DUI, and a lot of those people were extreme DUI, which means that they had more than twice the legal limit in their system at the time of the arrest. So I don't have a problem with this at all.
And, you know, when you think about the blood alcohol levels and you see these charts, and it's really interesting because people think, well, maybe I'll just have a couple of drinks. Well, that couple of drinks is going to have a different impact on men and women, and depending on your body build.
There are a lot of factors that go into blood alcohol percentages. Men and women metabolize alcohol differently. And to give you an example, a woman at 120 pounds only needs to have two drinks. And, you know, that could be two beers, it could be
two glasses of wine.
Yeah. And she would be at the legal limit, which is 0.08. A 180-pound man, on the other hand, could have as many as four drinks before he got to the legal limit. So there are, you know, a lot of factors that go into it, but the basic rule is men and women metabolize alcohol differently, and the heavier you are in body weight, the more alcohol you will be able to consume before you hit that 0.08 level.
You know, I know you've been watching this whole redistricting dust-up between the governor and the independent redistricting panel, and from a legal point of view, it's fascinating to watch, isn't it, Don Luce?
Well, it's sad and fascinating at the same time. It's sad because, yet again, the administration in our state is back in court as opposed to at the Capitol doing what the executive branch ought to be doing, in my estimation. Again, our governor took a battle to the courtroom and lost. Chairwoman...
Colleen Mathis.
Yes, who was removed, got her job back. The Supreme Court said that there was nothing in the governor's explanation that met the constitutional threshold to remove her. So now the redistricting panel is back together again, but unfortunately they're behind schedule. And this is kind of important because they have target dates that need to be met, and the first target date has been missed, which was October 1st. That was when the counties were supposed to get the information on the new congressional and legislative districts. Those maps haven't yet been finalized, and there are dates upcoming that are likely also going to be missed. And your listeners may know that in Arizona, we are on a federal watch list. So we actually have to get federal approval before we can change these districts. And that's another wrench in the works, if you will.
So the federal approval has to be signed. They have to sign off on this. So they're really pushing it. And people need to know what district they're going to be in before they can even run.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, the counties, which are responsible for setting up the election facilities, have to have notification sufficiently in advance so that they even know how many ballots to print. And until the districts are definitively set, they won't have that information. I see this as a potential really messy problem.
You talked about Arizona being in court. The Arizona governor has been quite a bit of litigation, to say the least, Don Luce. And now the appeal to SB 1070 continues. She's urging the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, to hear it.
Well, she is. And now the interesting thing about SB 1070 is that despite the fact that its key provisions were eviscerated by a temporary restraining order signed by Judge Bolton, five other states have taken Arizona's lead. Four other states, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, and Utah, and enacted SB 1070-like statutes. So, yeah, we're in court, but guess what? Other states have enacted laws similar to ours. I think the significance of this is it's going to increase the likelihood that the Supreme Court will accept jurisdiction and will make a decision as to whether a state like Arizona or Georgia or Utah or Alabama or South Carolina has the authority to regulate illegal immigration. Our district court judge, Susan Bolton, said essentially no. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed, and now the matter is before the High Court.
Don Luce is with us. He is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. You'll be updating your book on Arizona Laws 101.
Arizona Laws 101 is updated, and a second edition will be coming out next month.
What can you say generally about Arizona laws?
Generally speaking, Bill, we are never at a loss to have interesting discussions about Arizona laws for a couple of reasons. Number one, our legislature is very, very proactive. The laws that are passed in our state are cutting edge on many fronts. And in addition, we have a very activist court. Our Arizona Supreme Court is one of the leading courts in the country, and we are always seeing interesting decisions and cases coming out of our courts. So from an author's perspective, if you're writing about Arizona laws, it's a very interesting project.
And think about estate planning in Arizona. It's a good time with the new year coming up. A lot of people make that resolution. Maybe I better finally get my act together.
They do, and that's not a bad thing to put on your to-do list for 2012.
Don Luce, have a great holiday season. We certainly appreciate your input to this program. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce with us, the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Buckmaster Show is made possible in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Coming up tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview with Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, and of course we'll have our Friday Reporters Roundtable, and of course we'll be talking about Governor Brewer in effect backing down and deciding, okay, that's enough on the redistricting for now. This is the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow on the Friday Focus and Roundtable.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930, KAPR, Douglas. And 1240, KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.